Okay, welcome everybody. November, what, I think November 3rd. Yeah, November 3rd. So we were just talking about how beautiful the moon was. So I'm assuming everybody saw the full moon yesterday. So we had a full moon in Taurus. Of course, Taurus is an earth sign. I'm a Taurus. So I hope everybody got connected with Mother Earth very much yesterday. Still feeling the glow of that earth connection. It's a beautiful walk in the woods today along a spring, and we'll talk more about water in a minute, but the water was just sparkling and glowing, and there was sun just dancing off the prisms of the water, and I felt very, very connected to Mother Earth. And I also am really having fun with the plants that are around me. I talked last week about the plant that told me I was blocking its sunlight. And I had another fun experience this week with, there's another plant that I sit next to at the kitchen table, and it's a rather large aloe vera plant, and that plant started talking to me this week, and that plant actually likes me to touch it very gently, almost like petting it. I never imagined petting a plant, but it likes me to touch it very gently, which is really a lot of fun. So that's what that plant asked me to do. So now I have plants talking to me, and then there's a rosemary plant also. And since I started sitting by the plant and just touching the leaves very gently, it gives off this beautiful essence, beautiful aroma, and the plant is just growing by leaps and bounds. So I'm having a lot of fun with plants. My Taurus full moon experience. So with the Taurus full moon, we had, it was square, it's called the grand square, with Mars and Leo, Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune in Aquarius, the Sun in Mercury, and Mercury in Scorpio. So, in other words, what this means is that we're really opening up the, and since this all occurred in Taurus, we're really opening up the energy of the planet to expand, because, as we know, Aquarius is the planet of expansion, living bigger dreams. So Jupiter is expansive. Mars and Leo is really getting out there, sharing your information, sharing leading, teaching. Chiron's a wounded healer, so whatever you're finishing up with your healing, it's a chance to do that. And the Neptune, of course, is the dreamer, so really living your dreams in a bigger way, expressing yourself, talking to people. So that's the energy, that's the astrological energy we had yesterday, which now continues. So Mars and Leo will really push us to express ourselves more. So if you have something that you want to express about healing, that would be the Chiron, and want to share healing energy with other people, you might notice yourself wanting to do that, or something that you're wanting to heal in yourself, something deep. We're in Scorpio, the Mercury in Scorpio. Sun and Mercury in Scorpio, that means going into the depths of the psyche, bringing up deep things to heal so we can really come into the light of healing the mother, healing the Taurus earth energy. That's a little bit about what's been going on astrologically. So this will also, this configuration is going to bring us into a different outlook, which is an acceptance of how we work with the shadow side of ourselves that brings healing not only to ourselves, but healing to the planet. So there's a correlation there with the Taurus solar. It has to do with healing ourselves, but also healing the planet. And we've been talking a lot about this with our crystals. And this takes us right into, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the emerald crystals, since people have been talking about green and the emerald crystals. It's off the activation Yahoo group a lot. So the emerald green crystal, the emerald energy that we've been working with, remember the emerald is the one that exudes a beautiful calming energy of brilliant luminescence. The emerald is the balancing force that keeps all the other, remember the giant crystals we've been talking about? All the other mega crystals from being too overwhelming for the human interface. And that's what we've been doing a lot. We've been interfacing crystals and energizing these giant crystals. So it's interesting that we've been working with the green energy emerald crystal a lot. And any green crystal, it could be adventure, and it doesn't have to be an emerald, but the emerald crystal is, so to speak, the surge protector that soothes and harmonizes the proportion and the amount of energy that the other master crystals give off in this crystalline energy that's emerging on the planet. And we also talked about that the last few weeks, how we're moving from the carbon to a crystalline energy field on the planet. So the emerald crystal adjusts and stabilizes the unified crystalline synergy in the field, and this will help balance this enormous electromagnetic field that we're now putting around the planet. We've been talking about it in terms of building the crystalline grid around the planet. So I just wanted to briefly go over the emerald crystal a little bit. So it's good. Keep working with that green energy. What I really wanted to talk a lot about today, as we've also been working with the crystals and the crystalline energies around the planet, but I wanted to talk about water some more. And thank you, Gaia, for sending me this beautiful article about water, and I want to talk about that. Where I think that the person who wrote this article, Raymond Grace Project is what it's called, he gives us some very practical ways of working with water, which just totally dovetails and synergizes with our amethyst crystal water that we've been making, our amethyst tea. So I want to go over some of his information, and we can even post that link on the Shakti Activation site. So we'll talk more about that. I wanted to mention that with our amethyst tea, one of the qualities of when we work with the purple ray, the violet ray, it has the quality of taking us out of duality. So what we're doing as we're moving into these connection with these higher frequencies is we're going out of the lower frequencies of the push-pull of duality, right, wrong, good, bad, judging, you know, other people are evil, we have to go out and kill them, all those thought forms on the planet. So when we make the amethyst tea and the amethyst water and work with the violet, that we're working with the violet ray takes us out of the push-pull duality of the lower third and lower fourth dimensional frequencies or environments. And as we move into the higher crystalline frequencies, and right now we're talking about the violet ray with our amethyst tea, now we're moving into a place where our vibrational patterns or energies are harmonious. And it tunes us, now starts to tune us into the divine or the God Goddess mind. It's an alchemy that takes us into that space where we can move into being the co-creators that we really are. And now in this space, we're going to be able to access that frequency of the creator, which is called, also called the quantum field. So I'm sure you all know about quantum physics, but we have to get out of the energy of duality into the higher frequencies to move into being able to work with the quantum field. If we're in the lower frequencies, that's where things are already created and you're just like fighting through molasses to make any changes or make anything different. But once we move into these higher frequencies, now we're into that space of the unmanifest where things have not been created before, so we can put our intentions, our desires, our prayers for peace, our Ramadasa, all the chants that we're working with, we can put those into the quantum field, and then that's where they come forth and help raise the vibrations on the planet and cleanse the planet. So we call this creator particles of light. And these creator particles have to be activated so that we can radiate unconditional love. Otherwise, in the lower frequencies, it's impossible to be radiating those really higher frequencies of love, loving intention, altruism. So that's one thing that we do when we're making our amethyst tea. There's two streams of consciousness, so to speak. or two layers of consciousness flowing around the planet. Of course, we've been working with energizing the crystalline grid and building that grid around the planet. So that's one band of frequency around the planet. And the other band is, of course, the frequency that's the distorted negative band, which is an accumulation of thousands of years of fear and self-serving interest and the shadow, as we call it, the energies that are polluting the planet. So as we work with this amethyst key and these higher frequencies and this building a crystalline grid, then we're cleaning up basically that negative energy band, that negative thought form around the planet. And then that comes through onto the planet to start to heal us and heal the planet. And this is the segue where I want to go into how we as co-creator beings can work with this, with water. And I had a wonderful experience myself when last year I was in Hawaii several times, but I was on Oahu for a month, and I had been on the Big Island doing teacher training, and then Spirit said, come back and work more with water. So I actually spent a month on Oahu, right off of Waikiki. And so what I did was I went down to Waikiki twice a day and went swimming in the ocean and meditated right there on the beach, did my chants and my yoga and everything. And I did my chants and swam in the water twice a day, chanting Sata Nama. And it was really funny because after doing that for a few days, I really started feeling the water responding to me, and I started feeling the water actually became my friend. And I felt pulled to do that. I felt that the water was looking forward to having me being with it and chanting in the water. So that was really fun. And we've talked a lot about working with water and making our amethyst tea. And we talked about making our amethyst tea and drinking our tea or putting it in our drinking water. Now we're going to expand on that. And I'm going to expand on it by talking about how you can make the amethyst tea and start putting it in the drinking water, or also you can start putting it down the drain. Or if you're near a spring or ocean or something, depending on where you live, you can also put the tea in different water sources, like swimming pools or streams or springs. And this is with this person that Gaia sent me this information about, Raymond Grace. He talks very specifically about how he works with healing water. And some of the suggestions that he has on his water project is he talks about adjusting the surface tension of the water. So when you actually drink the water, that the surface tension is the correct tension for you. So in other words, when you drink the water actually goes, permeates your cells, and cleanses your body. So when you're drinking the water, it's very cleansing for you. And we are doing that with our amethyst tea. He talks about it as adjusting the surface tension of the water to break up any pollutions in the water and to make it more absorbable when you drink it. Or if you put it down the drain or something, it will activate that water. He talks about putting a thought form into the water that will energize any water it touches. And to have your intention be, have that water that you put mixed with other water be equal to or exceed the energy of the water that you energize. And again, we're doing this with our intentions, our thought forms, and with the chants that we're doing. And have the intention that you will gain increased benefits of this water if you put your intention into it. And every time you drink water, have the thought that it's serving the purpose you intend. So you can have it when you drink your water, whatever you want, to be peaceful, to be calm, to heal you, to be a healing force on the planet. And so whatever kinds of thought forms that you feel you need, you can have a different one every time. If there's a certain aspect or subject that you're working on, you can use that one for a period of time until you start seeing the And then when you're going to use the water to add the water to whatever water is around you, like I said, you may not be near the ocean or a spring, but in your house, even putting water down the drain. So if you energize your water, and you can have a thought that the water that you're putting into other water, that the energized water that you're adding removes the spirit of anger and fear from the water. And this is what I was talking about, how we're doing this with energizing, aligning with and energizing the crystals in the center of the earth, and we're building that crystalline grid around the planet. So here's another way to do that, through water. Since water, you can imagine that Mother Earth, and water is like the blood of the planet. The water is flowing all over the planet. So it's another way to really heal the mother is by putting these high frequencies in the water. And even if you just pour the water down the drain, with intention, with prayer, with your amethyst tea, or with your emerald tea, it, whatever water it touches, have the intention that it will begin to heal any water that it touches and remove these lower thought forms, these stuck thought forms of fear that I was just talking about, that are also circulating around the planet. So those are some of the suggestions for how to work with water. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll all share some intentions that we'd like to have and put into the water. Some other thoughts about working with water, some other information, is that water is very programmable, which of course is the good news and the bad news. That's how water gets so polluted, because people aren't really taking care of protecting its quality. But you can restore the purity of the water. The water is easily programmable, so you can take the water that's been polluted and clean up that water just with your intention, just with your thoughts. And one thing that, the way that this Raymond Grace does it is he does it with dowsing and he uses a pendulum. So if anybody likes that method, I used to always make little pendulums with a little crystal on the end. And then you can ask the water, put your intention in the water, and then use your pendulum to ask questions over the water, or hold your pendulum and put your intention in the water with a little crystal on the end. So you either, to make those little pendulums, you either need like a little piece of chain or just a little string, and you can just tie. I usually put like a little bead on the end, and then a little piece of chain, and then a crystal, either a clear crystal or a little amethyst crystal, and you can hold that over the water with your intention, and you'll see that the pendulum starts to swing in a wider circle. So you can work with that. So he works with dowsing and checks things with the pendulum. So that's one way to work with your water. And then he gives an example in this article about how there was a polluted spring in Arkansas. It's called Blue Springs, and a person asked them to go to that spring because previously the water had been bottled from that spring and they'd been selling it, but it got so polluted that nobody could even drink it. So he went to that spring, and he knew that there was these Indian spirits around the spring, and so he asked them what they wanted because they were spirits that actually had been killed. Fight the Trail of Tears, where the Cherokee people were marched from North Carolina to Oklahoma in the 1800s, and about 4,000 or more Indians had died along the way. And so he felt these spirits around the water, and he thought, you know, what do you want? He was asking them, do you want me to send you to the spirit world? Do you want me to help you, you know, as we say, get liberated, Santa calls, that's what we do. And he said they spoke to him and said no, they wanted him to purify the water. So that's what he did. So he worked on purifying the water of the spring with his intention and with his dowsing. And later they took readings from the water and found that in fact that the water had become purified. And the way the that he was told to do this by these spirits was, they said, scramble the frequency of the pollutants in the water and adjust them to the frequency of pure water. So that's what he did with his thoughts, with his intentions. He imagined that these pollutants were getting scrambled, were being broken up, and then he held the intention of pure water over this water in this spring, and that's what happened. Just his intention was so powerful. Just his thoughts, it purified the water. So that's what he got, the message was, scramble the frequency of the pollutants. And that's what we're doing when we're using, drinking our amethyst tea and making our amethyst tea and doing our chants. We're adding that purity into the frequencies around us, or if it's water, the frequencies that have gotten, so to speak, polluted or unstructured, and we're adding that crystalline structure back to them, back to the water. And this works as everything, as we know. Everything has a frequency, emotions, and there's a frequency for love. So as we work with putting the frequency of divine love or unconditional love into water, we can do that also. And like I said, just put a little of your amethyst tea water, or just your intention, your prayer, your Rama Dasa, hold the water, and just put the intention of unconditional love, that whatever water this water touches, it's circulating love into that body of water, and pour it down the drain, you know? And just imagine if we got a lot of people on the planet putting these intentions in the water and even just pouring them down the drain, what difference that would make. So it's so exciting to think about that. And he also said that people would ask him, well, do you have to be a Taoist to do this? And he's saying, no, just your intention, just your thought is enough. He does it with thousands. He'll kill Taoists with it and have his intention, as I explained, like with a pendulum. But you can just do it with your crystals and just with your thoughts, just with your prayers. You can put your higher frequencies into the water. As I said, then he had this water tested later, and it was found to be pure. Another thing that he does that's really a lot of fun is he tests how far the aura of the water goes out. And he said that normally water has like an energy field that goes out about 5.5 inches, but once he energizes it, it can go out as much as 60 feet, which I think is really amazing. So water can become very radiant. So it's kind of funny, we think about when we do yoga, our radiant body, and we do our breath of fire and our yoga, and our arms up at 60 degrees to energize us, to expand our aura, but we can do the same thing with water. You know, you could put your water in front of you, or hold your water, put your water in front of your chant, and test the aura, the energy field of the water before and afterwards, and see how far it expands, and then you can drink that water. Or just put a little bit of that water, like I said, in drinking water that you're sharing with your family, or put a little bit in a bottle of water and give it to a friend as a gift, or somebody that doesn't feel well, and put some in somebody's bath water or your bath water if they have some aches or pains. So it's kind of like taking an Epsom salts bath. It will draw things, the lower frequencies, out when we simply energize the water with our pure intentions, which are good thought forms. And that's how powerful you are. That's how powerful your prayers are. That's how powerful your beautiful, uplifting thoughts are. They're that powerful that if you put those thought forms into the water, that will change the water. And then that will change the frequency and change the energies on the planet to the higher frequencies. So I think this is a pretty exciting way that we can work with these energies, these crystalline energies that we've been working with, playing around with the last few weeks. He did some other experiments also with helping some other people with health issues. But maybe Gaia will post this article depth and we can talk about it. You know, he just says that water responds, and water responds to thought, to intention, to prayer, and to programming. And all water that touches the programmed water will respond, and it will circulate out. So imagine that you're throwing a rock or a pebble in the center of a spring or the center of a pond, and how that water just radiates out and out and out and out. So that's what you can do also, and just do your healing work in that way. And as I said, it was really fun for me today because before the call, I just had this feeling to take a walk, and it ended up that I was walking along this beautiful spring, and I hadn't really specifically walked there before, and as I did, I was just feeling the beautiful water and just sending out my healing intentions to the water and crossing the spring and sitting by the spring. And I thought it was really interesting that I was drawn to take a walk by this beautiful spring with the sunlight sparkling out of it right before the call. So I think that's the message that I got for today, to really expand out our intention to work with the water and to continue to heal the planet and ourselves and to bring us all that we need in that way. Okay, so I'm going to open it up and we can talk. And we can talk about, I'd like to hear specifically also some intentions that you'd like to put in the water. It could be for planetary healing or anything personal that you want. And we can talk about how to work with that and also clear those intentions like you do sometimes. Okay, so let's go ahead and open it up and for a little discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Gaia. Yeah.
I like that idea. I like dowsing. I have a wonderful tachyon energy crystal pendulum that I have had in a drawer, and now I know what I have it for.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those at home, too. Yeah, I just thought this was a great way for us to really expand our influence. I mean, don't you feel that's exciting? Even if we made the amethyst key or clear quartz crystal key, and even if we just put a little bit down the drain with our intention, I think that's so exciting.
I've always saved the last of my water and poured it out into the ground for healing Mother Earth.
Oh, beautiful.
I felt like she really appreciated it.
Yeah.
I have a thought about you were talking about that part where the Cherokee spirit. It's an interesting thought because it all sounds so new age, the way they told them to shake up the water and, you know, to change the vibration of it.
Right.
It makes me think, because the ancient history of the Cherokee is that we came from the Pleiades, and so there's the wee folks, the wise folks, some people call fairies or elves or whatever, called the Nanahe. Makes me wonder if that's who interfaced or interacted with him at the spring and gave him some, let's say, interplanetary technology. Maybe it's the beginning of the earth cleaning that we're going to be getting.
Oh, I'm getting chills on that. Yeah. What does anybody else feel about that? I'm getting an absolute chills of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really expanding out. That thought's really expanding out. Oh, yeah. And I just,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I love the feeling of just drinking water and then putting feelings of unconditional love into the water. Yeah, I love the idea of just sprinkling it onto the earth, just pouring. And what about watering plants with it and then eating those vegetables?
Giving it to
you. I'm gonna take a bath with it today.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
I have a question. I wonder if anybody else is experiencing a little bit of an unsettled feeling when they're drinking the amethyst water. I'm wondering if I'm overdoing my input against
this. You may be overdoing it. You can put even just a few drops of the amethyst water in like a gallon of drinking water. You're probably drinking too much. You're probably too much flushing too fast, Gaia. Yeah.
I'm so impatient.
I had a question. Is the water allowed to be heated at all?
That's icky?
No, can we heat it? can we put it like like a real, like a hot tea or hot cocoa, or can we put it into something like that, or does it need to continue staying in the same?
I'm getting that you can eat it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Especially if we're deleting it, huh? We can make a...
Now, what I'm getting is right now is just put that amethyst tea that everybody's making is pretty concentrated. Use that like a concentrate and just put a little bit, like in a gallon of water, and then, you know, so you don't drink the whole thing straight. I'm getting that it is more powerful than we even realize.
Wow. Okay.
it's almost like I'm doing battle with something. You know, that I'm taking it up a little too much and it's not wanting to let go, and making me unsettled.
Easy does it, yeah.
Let it
you know, release gently.
Well, this is Dava.
Oh, Dava!
Hey.
Hi!
Yes.
Hey,
right. It's 78 degrees here, okay. we got Florida's weather.
Oh, wow.
I think they must have hours. I was thinking from a guy's viewpoint, you know, if an eyedropper pool is good, then a quart jar should it should magnify, right? It should be like give you the results of 100 times what you wanted. No?
Well, why doesn't everybody just try whatever amount you want, but Gaia said she was maybe kind of overdoing it a little bit.
Well, I've been making like 2 or 3 quart jars every day, and I'll drink one.
And how's that working? Is that...
Well, I haven't, every once in a while I'll feel like a slightly queasy feeling, but that's all.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's doing some good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm feeling by hearing your voice and speaking into you that it is doing some good. Yeah, I feel that. So I think you're doing the right amount for you.
But I've also been doing a lot of mantra with my crystals. It's hard. I mean, it's not always easy to whatever. I find myself using heart mudra a lot of times because that's the only way you can hold the crystals. But on Ramadasa, I do it the normal way with the hands out. But still, that's a challenge because I've got several crystals now.
Well, as long as the crystals are in your aura, you don't have to have them in your hands. Just to let you know.
Yeah, but I didn't want to leave anything to chance. I want to make sure it's right then, you know. kind of the guy way of thinking again, you know. Well, if it's near me and it picks up the vibration, then what if I hold it? So... And then I'll do Ma when I do Mother meditation. I have it sitting where I'm touching the floor or the ground. I have him sitting right there between my hands. So I feel like the crystals are picking up max vibrations, and I see it's pretty potent.
Right. Well,
so you say you think I'm getting a good result from it.
You are. When I tune into you, it feels like you're doing the right thing for you and you're getting a good result, yeah.
That's the bottom line. I'm doing the right thing for me.
Yeah, that's what I get.
Okay. Yeah, it may not work for other people, but maybe the eyedropper does work.
Well, I feel that Gaia has built up quite, she's already done a lot, so at this point I think that she just needs the homeopathic amounts, at least for a while.
Okay.
That's what I get.
Good deal. Guru, I've been putting the amethyst and a regular, just a quartz crystal, very, very clear crystal inside of the water. Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah, that's good too. That's
okay.
Cool.
So it's okay if we mix our crystals?
It's okay if you mix them. I feel that it's more powerful if you do them, like, separately. That's just what I feel, but again, this is not, you know, an exact science. I want you guys to do what you feel works for you. But I just feel that it works better to do it separately. But I've only worked with the amethyst water, but, I don't know. Decide to see what feels better for you.
That might be my problem, because I have a citrine on earrings that I put in the same water, so I'll do it.
I'm definitely getting to do them separately, but that's the message I'm getting. But try it and see if that doesn't work a little bit better.
I mixed mine once, and I got the thought that I should keep them separate, and that's the way I've been doing it since then.
Yeah, I feel that's more powerful, and it also gives like more clear messages, because each one has a certain, you know, property that you're working with. and then it makes it more powerful. You can actually work on that, you know, specific property. Like when we do one specific chant for like 11 or 31 minutes, we do that chant. Mm-hmm. That same thing I feel.
Does the size of the crystal matter? Let's say I have a big crystal. Would the water be more powerful?
Maybe. I've actually looked at the very large.
I mean, I have three big crystals. Do I put one? Do I put two? Do I put three of them in a drink of water? I don't know. I'm just saying what happens if I have a large stone.
No, so I think one large stone is fine. One large stone is fine.
It's not going to affect the strength of the water, of the effect.
You know, everything you do is going to make it slightly different, but remember what's important even more than the crystals is your intention, because the crystals are just amplifying your intention. You are the ultimate crystal.
Mm.
The crystals are just helping us attune to the crystalline frequency, which is the vibration on the planet that we're moving into, which is the ascension, which is the Aquarian age, which is the fifth dimension, which is the energy that's going to heal Mother Earth and make Mother Earth not be polluted anymore. But we are directing that frequency. So the body is becoming crystal. So the crystals are just kind of a template. The body is made from minerals. It is made from crystalline energy.
I just had a cool idea.
What?
We could draw the Aquarius sign on our glass with our fingers.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's like two ways what the Aquarius sign is. I've been doing, sometimes I draw a peace sign, sometimes I draw an on sign. I've been doing that a long time, drawing intentions on the water glass.
Well, draw the Ikon car.
Okay.
You know the Ikon car?
No. I could probably look through my notes and find it.
Yeah. Okay. Because the Om is the feminine. It's the embodied.
I remember us drawing those, how beautiful they were.
Yeah, we drew.
I'll get my notes out. Okay, good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe somebody can post the Ikon car. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's probably, if we do, somebody wants to look at Google Images, there's probably one on the Google Images. I can look too and post it.
Is it spelled E-C-O-N-C-R?
E-K.
Oh boy, okay.
O-N-G.
Uh-huh.
K-A-R. That's on car, or K-A-U-R.
Okay.
So Ik is like one. Ikon car. We've been talking about moving into that experience of that vibration of oneness where we're moving into the consciousness where people realize that everything's one, like we're one with the plants and we're one planet and like that. So that's what the Ikon car is, the vibration of oneness. So when you stand or look at that image, Ikon car, it brings us into that frequency or that vibration of unity with the cosmos, or oneness, and it's out of that unity that we can experience being co-creators, because we are one with the creation, so therefore we can work with the creation to create. But we have to move into that higher frequency, that violet ray, that unity consciousness, that experience of co-creation.
That's a beautiful song that we ought to sing at Kunkar Sabnam. That's a beautiful song.
Right.
So you think writing on the glass will help hold the attention?
Yes, definitely. Or you can even make it and just put, like, do it, like, draw it on a piece of paper and then set your gallon jar or your glass on the picture. Like, you could draw it. You could even have the picture, like, laminated, you know, and put your glass on that, on your picture.
I had a question regarding making the tea. Do you put the crystal in the water and bring the water to boil, or?
No.
Sunlight.
No?
Sunlight between 11 and 1.
Sun tea.
Yeah, I know it's cold there, but if there's a window that has sunlight coming in, you can leave it inside. No, you don't want to boil it.
Okay, I see. Okay. So you just leave it in the water for...
It's metaphorically called amethyst tea, like sun tea, but it's not like tea like you boil it.
Oh, I see.
Like, but we could use some of it later to make hot tea.
Yeah, you can put a little bit in your tea.
Kind of just kind of dip it into the liquid, right? That's all.
The Yagure Name, you know, I've always done it, but I never thought about it in the way that we named last week of it using as an unblocking tool.
Right.
Meta tool. It's awesome. It is opening things up for me like you wouldn't believe.
Really? Wow.
I'll be sitting at the computer and it's doing its typical, you know, thing. Don't want to type the R. I start singing Ekanka. I'm singing my other thing, and next thing you know, I'm typing anything I want to. It's just beautiful.
Wow.
And it's bringing things to me. Things are changing and opening up. Yeah, it is beautiful.
Yeah, well, I was just realizing that on one of Sanatan Subbu's Anand, I don't know if you guys know that one, but she has an Ekankar Satnam Sri Wahe Guru chant. I'll play it for a second so you guys can hear it. You can sing along for a minute and see if this is one that you want to use. With, you know, programming the crystals in the water. So here we go.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Her voice is magnificent.
Yeah, I think that would really help. And that, and then put the water wherever. Put it in a...
Is somebody rolling dice in the background?
She's typing.
That's
she's
what
typing
I
her notes, too.
Nabdi's taking notes.
Okay.
Oh, that's a note taking.
Rolling dice.
Well, thank you.
That makes it okay.
That sounds like an old-fashioned type.
Exactly. Thank you for taking notes.
Sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No problem.
We love it.
And let me hear it again.
Beautiful.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking notes for us.
Yes.
So let's talk for a minute about intentions that we want to put into the water, like an intention for what? I like healing the planet, but I like specific intentions like purifying the water system or something like that, you know, more than just...
I have intention of, we have in New Jersey, and this is Yuri from New Jersey, I'm sorry, we have in New Jersey a beautiful river, Raritan River. Huge river goes across New Jersey from one end to another. And I was told, because I'm not from this country, I was told that years ago they used to swim in the river and people used to have lots of fun and they would barbecue. And the river is in the park, three parks. And it goes through three towns. And now it's all polluted and dirty, and you can't even, and there's sign everywhere, no swimming, no canoeing. No, it's so sad, and it's so beautiful. Like sometimes I go to the park, and I feel like, how can I not be swimming here? It's so natural for me to just, touch the water or taste the water, but you can't. It's so polluted. So can we put, like, in 10 to...
Well, let's put in a...
Purifying this river?
Yeah, let's put in 10 and then you can haul that and put it in your water. Then you could go put...
Yeah.
Or if you have a cup of water right now, you could hold it, and then you could go put that in the river. And we could all
in the river.
Yeah, we could all put the intention right now when you hold the water.
Maybe you can even get other people interested. Sometimes there's a healing water something. What do they call it? It's an International Water Day. Dr. Emoto started it.
Right.
Where people go to bodies of water and pour in intentioned water, purified intentioned whatever you would call it, water into us.
Right. Okay, so we now intend that, what's the name of the river?
Raritan.
Raritan.
R-A-R-I-T-A-N.
That the Raritan River is now returned to its pristine state.
That the Raritan River is now returned to its pristine state.
Okay, now let's actually, I'm getting to chant this mantra for a couple minutes. So if you can hold that thought, and Areed, if you can put some water, a cup of water, that you'll later put in the river.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Okay, so get that ready.
One second, I'm ready to get the water.
Okay, I'll play this.
I got it.
Okay,
good.
I'm going to play this chant again for a couple minutes, and
okay.
Then we'll have that water ready to put in the river. So here we go.
Did that this morning.
Yeah, you did? Oh, wow, wonderful, yeah.
You know, it's a heart, one of those heart opening
trees.
Nice. I can't remember which one. It's where you get your hand, your hands up on both sides, pointing up.
Wow, that was powerful. I really feel this really big opening to purify the water. Wow, purify that river. Wow, that felt great.
This is Prema from New Jersey. I canoe on that river all the time.
Oh, you do? Wow.
Yeah. It's the runoff. The sewer runoff goes into the river now in some parts of the area. But there are some parts that are really clean, too. So I just charged my water. I'll go there.
Aha!
Okay. Uh-huh.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's near my house.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wow. Good. Great.
Sadhana, it's Prem Sirikar from Chicago. I have, through the call, I was thinking about a friend of mine who is Pisces. And he has a very dualistic nature. He can be all love at times, and he can be the opposite of it at times. And you were talking about the water, and I was thinking this person is made in a big percentile of his body is water. And I think that we can apply the same principle we apply to the river to a human being, to purify the person through the water inside the person. So I would like to make a prayer for this person in particular because he motivated my thought, but also for everybody else in the, on this planet, for all the people to be purified through the water inside them.
That's beautiful. Okay, so we now intend that that the water inside each system of the planet is purified and
the water
is lifted beyond duality into the consciousness of purity.
It felt like a big tear went up some ways, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like something got released. Like
is Ramadasa up here again? Nothing helping.
Ramadasa.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
Hello. I had an attention for another water one here in Alberta. I live in, this is Dirty Oil Country, basically.
Yeah.
They're using 10 barrels of fresh water for every one barrel of oil.
Oh my god.
And then they have like these tails ponds now where all these animals and ducks are dying and stuff because they're landing in them. So my intention would be like I would like to see all this stop.
Yeah.
Here in Alberta.
Okay, so how would you say that?
I guess to, I don't know how to put it. Maybe to stop big oil, you know, in Alberta.
Okay. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Right, in Canada, right. Water in Alberta is purified from the effects of big oil. And let's clear the space.
Clearing it too.
Yeah. I'm clearing the midline, which means that we did this before, but you take your right hand and you put it above your head down the midline of your body and bring your hand down to your feet and then up to your head.
Yeah.
Clear the midline and that opens up the space. There you go. Mm-hmm. Feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Very releasing. Ah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I can see the pollution. It's pushing me away. Let's do a couple of calls for that.
Okay. I'm so
I'm Kainat Zahra from San Diego.
Oh, hi.
Hi. And, you know, I'm going to request everyone to turn their attention to that part of the world where the pollution is on a completely different scale. So I'm going to request everyone to hold an intention to purify the water from in Pakistan from in the river Indus, which flows down from the Himalayas, and it branches out and branches out into the five main rivers of Pakistan and some rivers of India, and it's heavily polluted. So it's and the local name for River Indus is Darya-e Sindh, or whatever is easier for you. You could say River Indus or Darya-e Sindh. So if you could all hold the intention.
Okay, beautiful. So we'll see the River Indus, Darya-e Sindh, being cleared and purified. So let's clear the field. So again, clear the midline.
Mm-hmm.
Go with your arms and your head down the midline of the body. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
My hand is shaking.
That's in comfort.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
Wow. There's a lot of clearing going on just in the water right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Guru Kiran. Thanks a lot. Thank you, everyone. Satnam, everyone.
Satnam.
Well, thank you, everybody. I think that was a good start for this week. That gives us some homework to do. Working with clearing water, healing the water, wherever we are, however that shows up for us. Yes, and as I said, next week, go ahead and dial in and do the call and talk to each other, and you can do a chant, do a triple mantra, or do the Ekankar or Ramadasa, even if I'm traveling and I can't be on the call.
Okay.
Okay, so would anybody else like to say anything before we continue? Yeah. Final words of wisdom? Well, thank you. I really feel the energy clearing. It feels really beautiful. And we keep the purity in our hearts. And oneness. And I thank everybody. I'm grateful that you are all here today and we got to connect with beautiful vibration. And I'll see you on Shakti Activation and other places. And we'll keep going. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru Kiran.
Thank you. Congratulations with the baby.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Enjoy him. That's wonderful.
Actually, if it's not too much to ask, do you think everyone could send out a prayer to him? We would like him to also become a light worker as well.
Yeah. Sure. We'll surround him in our prayers and blessings, but it's Sylvia already is a light worker. So.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Welcome, crystalline child. Wonderful.
Yeah, he's a crystalline child, all right.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Enjoy it. Bye.
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 Bye.